My background is in sociology and public health. I've been a staff member in the Department of Community Medicine at West Virginia University for about 8 years, working with Cecil Pollard, who's my director in the audience there at the Office of Health Services Research. I'm also a part-time doctoral student in public health. The title of my presentation is Building Capacity to Use Disparate Electronic Medical Records and Clinical Information Systems for Health Outcomes Research. And this presentation is really born from our experiences in the field working directly with primary care centers and challenges that we've encountered along the way and solutions that we've developed to help overcome those. Our office is funded primarily by our State Bureau for Public Health. So the Diabetes Prevention and Control Program, Cardiovascular Health Program, and the Asthma Education and Prevention Program fund our office to work directly with primary care centers in helping them develop quality improvement interventions around these three key health conditions and to help these primary care sites improve the quality of care they're providing and their health outcomes. Four basic learning objectives that I'd like to cover. I want to tell you a little bit more about what we do in West Virginia. It's a partnership that spans primary care sites, public health, and our academic institution. I want to take a look at some of the benefits of electronic health records and challenges in using those for quality of care. I'd like to describe how EHRs and electronic patient registries can work in tandem, which is one of the solutions that we're using in our state, and take a look at some of the potential public health uses of these data sets that are in the health centers. So, as I mentioned, we are funded through our state health department to work in primary care sites. Currently, we're partners with 51 of the health centers around our state. That's about a third overall. That includes main and satellite clinics. The bulk of them are federally qualified health centers. There's 36 of those we're partnering with right now. We do have 10 free clinics in our state. We're partners with all of those. And five community hospitals, which are critical access sites. So in overall, these care sites provide care to patients that are often geographically isolated, generally low in terms of socioeconomic resources, and really in need of good quality care. In a nutshell, we help these health centers either implement a tracking system if they don't already have one already to track the care they're providing to their patients with these chronic health conditions. And after they're implemented and actually integrated within their care system, which is a big task, we help them really drill down into their data and target patients that need care. A lot of that involves helping these sites track key indicators over time, do required reporting, and once we have data in place, what we work hard to hit on are impacting practice and policy changes within these clinics. Of those 51 sites, we receive de-identified data from 32 of them currently, which accounts for about 52,000 patients, and that's climbing. In the past 12 months, we've had about a 96% increase in that patient count, largely attributable to these clinics moving away from standalone registries and moving to an electronic health record that covers their entire patient population. A couple definitions before we get started. I've been saying these terms enough already before I've defined them, and forgive me if you already know this, but just to cover the bases. From the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, they were kind enough to give us definitions on what an EHR and what a registry are. I won't read these to you verbatim, but basically, an electronic health record is an information system that captures data on individual patients, stores them securely, and makes those data available to whoever is supposed to have access to them for their healthcare. So essentially, they're individual-focused designed to collect, share, and securely share that information for the benefit of the patient. Our registry, kind of in tandem to that, is a different kind of system that deals more with population-level data. So it uses observational study methods, which tells you off the bat that the data included in your registry is there for a reason. Usually registries are designed with the end in mind. Whatever reporting, whatever outcome you want to look at over time, you start out that way. So registries are population-focused, designed to fulfill specific purposes. So, from the literature and also from our personal experience, broadly defined, and this is probably information you already know, but electronic health records are intended to store data securely and allow access to it when it's needed, where it's needed, provide decision support for patient care, improve the management of that information, ideally help reduce health disparities and improve care at a reduced cost. And those are some broad ideal goals. There are plenty of challenges in implementing and really using electronic health record for quality improvement and outcomes research. Simply implementing these systems has been very difficult over time, and EHRs are not new. Challenges have been present since the 1960s, and especially in smaller rural practices like the ones we work with in West Virginia. Some of the common barriers that we encounter, the physician views that EHRs interfere with clinical judgments. That can be hard to overcome. A lack of trust in them to securely store information that's starting to be overcome, but in the physician population like our state that's a little bit older and new to electronic health records, that's definitely a barrier. There's not always, and this is also starting to be overcome, but there has been a lack of standards in data formatting and a lack of interoperability across systems. The time and the training and the money required to use these systems well can be a barrier. And they also need someone within the clinic that can actually champion the system and help drive it, so that local physician champion. It's hard to tell if an electronic health record will meet your needs. So some of our clinics in West Virginia are on their second, if not third, electronic health record, which is a problem. And often the organizational redesign isn't necessarily given the attention that it should. So implementing electronic health record is not something that should be taken lightly. And then the readiness to do that is something that should not be overlooked. And adding to the challenges in terms of outcomes research, electronic health records aren't necessarily designed to do good population level analysis. Some of them do a much better job than others. And even larger relatively resource-rich organizations like the university that I come from, they have their own problems in making sure that the data is collected consistently, that the data quality is high, and also issues in training, and a lot of free text is a consistent problem across the board. So in the 31 or so partners that we're receiving data from right now, we don't have the luxury of these sites using the same electronic health record. A few of them do, most of them don't. So in order to retain the quality improvement initiatives that we've started and to retain the data flow to our state health department on these chronic disease indicators, we needed to develop a way of standardizing data across these various electronic health records and registries into one common data set. We used an open source public domain registry, which is free, as that common denominator, and we've developed a mapping process for the electronic health records that are in place in our state in each of those systems to identify the key elements that we need out of them for these chronic disease indicators, where and how they're stored in the electronic health record, and develop unidirectional interfaces, pulling data out of the EHR, placing it into the registry. All of this happens at the site, so the data doesn't leave the clinic, which is a nice benefit, and it also gives them something else to work with in terms of their own data mining. But essentially, we've formed a principal data set that's comprised of demographics, diagnoses, visits and information and vitals, labs, services, and other key measures. So these clinics have the ability to pull data out of their electronic health records, place it into a standardized registry format. They share de-identified data back to our office, and on an aggregate level, we can do analysis for our state health department. This is an overly simplified model, to be sure, but graphically, this is what the quarterly quality improvement process looks like that we go through with each of our partnering sites. So they share data with us from de-identified data from their EHRs and from their registries. The data is not standardized. It comes from a variety of different systems. We map those data elements into a common format and generate a set of standardized outcomes reports on these health indicators. And we use those to guide the work that we do with these clinics. And the important part about all this is impacting clinic practices and policies and making that data driven. So if they see any trends in their data that they find alarming, that's what we hone in on. It's very participatory based research. We don't mandate that they do anything, but we provide them with the data and the tools necessary for them to make their own good decisions. And I'm going to keep myself on time. I see it's already 1:45, so I've got about 5 minutes. Okay, just moving along. We focus a lot with these care sites on key indicators. So diabetes, hypertension, asthma. So if you're looking at patients with high blood pressure, one of the common things you would look at are making sure that their blood pressure is in control. For diabetes, you would want to make sure that their A1C value is good. For asthma, making sure they have documentation of a written asthma action plan or whatever other measure that that health center is focusing on. But it just in those measures, if you can think for a moment about one of the major assumptions of those indicators, we're assuming that we can find the patients with those health conditions. And I would hope that that would be a safe assumption considering there's electronic health records in place, but it's really not. And this is what we've been finding. This is what diabetes looks like in one of the electronic health records that is sharing data back with our office. So if the users want, they can choose the ICD-9 or ICD-10 code, or if they'd like, they could pick a field called Other and type in whatever they please. So you end up with diabetes, diabetes, all sorts of combinations of diabetes that mean diabetes, but try running a report on that out of your EHR and finding all of your patients. You really can't. So that's diabetes. This is high blood pressure. Equally as bad, if not worse. In looking at hyperlipidemia, we've found hyperflipidemia. So it really depends on the site and the training in terms of what their data quality happens to be. So in terms of standardizing it, we build tools and algorithms that find all of these various permutations and map it to a simple diagnosis that we can run a report on. Sorry, I'm going to have to move a little fast. And rather than this being an academic exercise, we build tools that can be used at the provider, at the site level, so that they can keep a quarterly tab on how their own data quality is. So this is a new tool that we built recently. It's a DX check. It's a nickname. So they can see how many patients they have. This is an example from hypertension. How many patients have hypertension by ICD-9 code? This particular clinic would be at about 1,143. If they take into account the free text coding also, a truer count is 1,217 patients. But then we have blood pressure results also, so we can help these sites hone in on patients that probably have hypertension, but it's not documented at all, be it code-based or free text. So there's 309 patients that have two or more consistently high blood pressure readings. There's 444 that have three or more consistently high blood pressure readings. So it's a nice quality improvement tool used at the site level. We've got a publication coming out about that in the summer in Perspectives in Health Information Management. I've got about 2 minutes. Some of the decision support tools that we've built in partnership with these sites, some examples would be a stoplight letter that assembles information on a patient level, and it's intended to show that patient how they're doing in a very simple red, yellow, green format in terms of meeting their goals, and it benchmarks that relative to how they were doing last time. Reminder letters, something you've probably seen before, but assembles information from various parts of the information system, puts it into one nice letter that can be sent out to that patient who needs an office visit, an A1C, etc. Some provider-level dashboards showing the physicians how they're doing among their specific patient population each month in meeting key goals. So this physician can look at this quickly, see that they're getting closer to reaching their goal of percent of patients with diabetes that have LDL in check, but they're not quite there. This is another example for patients that are taking an ACE or an ARB. So very simple tools that assemble data in a way that's meaningful. That's the take-home message. And as far as data on a state level, we can show our health department how many patients we're looking at overall, making sure that those patients are coming in once a year, looking at their outcomes relative to their health conditions, and got about a minute, so I'm going to jump ahead. But most importantly, what we can look at are among those patients that do have a cardiovascular diagnosis but don't have hypertension. This decision tree shows us that 18% of those patients not only probably have hypertension, but they're at stage 1 or stage 2 already without a diagnosis. So important information for our state to have. And just to kind of wrap it up, what we do is very applied. It's on a clinic level out in the field. So we can help those sites monitor their data more closely by patient population, detect patients that are at risk for developing conditions without having to do massive chart audits, without having to spend time in finding them, and to help them have a good solid foundation for building quality improvement initiatives that are sustainable, developed on their own. And as far as public health, we're giving our state a lot of data for surveillance monitoring, program planning, and just detecting trends. And for the current condition of our state that is in flux in terms of electronic health record implementation and switching, it's nice to have some stability in data flow across sites. So I'm just on time. This is our office. If you would like, I know you can get a copy of this electronically over the conference website, but also if you want to email or call me, I'd be glad to send you copies of slides, talk with you individually about any questions that you might have. Okay, thank you.